This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee. Let's go for a little ride.
And good morning. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Hans D. I see him. He is here. So is Trevor Valise, who's going to pop in and take part in our Big Ten draft that we're going to do early on. We are day five, Derek Piper. No coaching announcement from Josh Whitman regarding the replacement for Lovie Smith. You think it'll get done this weekend, or will he let the media members just kind of relax for a while?
I wouldn't anticipate that.
No. I wouldn't either. I mean, if you're someone that covers Illinois football lately, you've had signing day, you've had Lovie getting fired, and you've had the job search. So you've had a lot on your plate here lately. These guys probably need a weekend off.
I would think so, yeah.
That would be the generous thing to do,
but I'm not sure that's front of mind for Josh Whitman.
Not at all. And of course,
doesn't need to be.
No, not at all. One of the coaches that we think is maybe in that running will coach tonight, Lance Leipold.
Yeah, we got the Leipold watch party tonight.
Boom. So we can watch that Buffalo against Ball State. Is that right? In the MAC championship game. What's that, like a 7 o'clock ESPN? I think is what I saw. So if you want to kind of get a glimpse of
6:30 ESPN.
Okay. If you want to get a glimpse of Leipold, you could certainly watch that game tonight. I'm not sure the others. Obviously, Brett Bielema coaches in the NFL with the New York Giants. You're not going to see a lot of him, obviously. And
you've got Jeff Monken against Air Force tomorrow.
Ooh, okay.
But that's a 2 or 2:30 kick.
Okay. So there's another candidate. Are we forgetting anybody? I mean, not just today, but we've talked about so many guys all week. Our guy, Jim Leonard. But again, he's a defensive coordinator.
I'm getting the sense that we're not going to get our Christmas wish.
Not going to get Jim? You don't think so?
I don't think.
Don't you wish, like, once Josh Whitman made the announcement, don't you wish he would come on with us and just explain how the process went? Like, for instance, let's say it's Brett Bielema. Was it fire Lovie Sunday, call Brett Sunday, interview Brett Tuesday, Brett says yes, they agree to it, done, and now we're just got to make an announcement? Or is it interview Lance Leipold, interview Brett Bielema, interview Monken, and whoever else? You know, and I'm sure we're missing guys. Or is it make a call to Urban and say, hey, before I ask you about Luke Fickell, any interest? No? Okay. How about Luke Fickell? Tell me about Luke Fickell. Call Luke Fickell. Hey, do you want to be in a Power Five? You know, well, I guess Cincinnati is, but do you want to have a chance to go to the playoffs? I don't know if Cincinnati, I don't think they'll get the chance this year. That could actually work in Illinois' favor in the sense that I think Cincinnati's undefeated. And I doubt they make the playoffs this year. So if you're Luke Fickell and your ultimate goal is to make a college football playoff, then it could go in your favor as an Illinois fan in the sense that he would sit there and say, I can't do any better than what I've done this year, and they're not putting me in a college playoff, so I've got to get out of Cincinnati if I'm ever going to get and achieve that goal.
They're 8-0. Now, playing the American, so not technically a Power 5 conference.
Right.
They play Tulsa December 19th, so tomorrow.
Okay. Just
lost some of my dates here a little bit.
I know. Same here.
Yeah, they have Tulsa their final game tomorrow, 7 p.m.
Okay. So that's another name. Luke Fickell is obviously a guy that came up in that Ohio State system, coached, I think, under Urban. Didn't he take over 1 year?
He was the interim.
Interim. That's right. He had an interim role. And then, of course, now the Cincinnati coach. So he has Big Ten ties. Leipold doesn't necessarily. I think maybe he was an assistant at Wisconsin for a while. Is that right? Or maybe not.
Wisconsin. He was at Wisconsin Whitewater.
Oh, that's right. He's just from. That's a good point. Bielema, of course, coached at Wisconsin, both as a defensive coordinator and head coach, and played at Iowa. If I asked you at 4:10 on December 18th, what's your gut tell you and who do you want? Do you still want our guy?
I still want our guy.
I do too.
I still want Jim Leonard. My gut says Lance Leipold.
Okay. I think it's hard for me to go against that as well. I feel like Lance Leipold, who went from Whitewater, where he won national titles, to Buffalo. And I know early on in that, early on at Buffalo, he only won like 2 games 1 year, maybe 3. But then from year 3 on, he has been really good. And he's played, after tonight, it will have been 2 of the last 3 years, he will have played in a MAC championship game. So I know that's something that he has obviously built the Buffalo program like you should. So is he the kind of guy that would want to come here? And I think he is. I think he'd want to come here. Yeah.
109-6 at Wisconsin Whitewater. Mm. Won 6 D3 championships. So obviously very successful at that level. Buffalo 5-7, 2-10, 6-6. It was from year 4 on where he goes 10-4, 8-5, currently 5-0 playing in the MAC title game.
Okay. So, and I know, I don't know that a lot of people, I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, a MAC coach isn't what they want. It's not going to excite them. The Monken name, obviously, that is a lot of ties to the state of Illinois. So that is a positive on his front. I don't know, does it excite you that he's the Army coach and that he runs a triple option? And will he carry that here if he is the next coach? Or does he abandon the triple option and go with something different? So, you know,
I'm not sure that he would bring that here. Maybe he has some variation of it. You run a lot of option out of the spread, or you still use a running quarterback. I think at times it would be a good changeup to throw in there, just something that the Big Ten teams have to prepare for if you have a quarterback who can run, you know, under center triple option. But I'll be honest, and I don't know this nearly as well as Jeremy Warner does, guys that really dig into this. I would prefer Monken over Leipold.
Okay.
Because I like the fact that he is from the state. We've talked about that. How much does that matter? I think you get the best guy.
Sure.
That's bottom line.
Good point.
But I do think that could you get Cousin Todd to come? He's a good offensive mind. And that one excites me more. I think the fit, in my opinion, is more natural than Leipold.
Okay. Cousin Todd would know Luke Ford well.
It's true.
As the offensive coordinator at Georgia. Jake on the College of Aces text line, you bring up a good point, but I want to counter it. Jake says, I can't understand why anyone would be excited for Bielema. Here's a guy that had everything and still chose to leave for the SEC at Arkansas. You really think even if he can win here, he'll stay? Now, here's what I would say to that. If he comes here and wins and then leaves, that would be the first coach to have won at Illinois and leave on their own since John Makovic. And Jake, I agree that I wouldn't be happy that he's leaving for greener pastures at that point. But if he comes here and struggles for a year and then wins 3 in a row and then leaves, I'm going to enjoy those 3 years.
Yeah, 100%.
Sense?
And I know that fans bring that up. You don't want Bill Self again.
Right. But I would take it.
Yeah. Are you sure? You hire the next guy when you're at that echelon and then Bruce Weber not able to sustain it and everything, but get to that pro, whatever that spot is for Illinois football, building it back up. If Bielema says, I need to go somewhere else, my eyes are set somewhere else, fine.
Yeah.
Then hire the next guy when you are that program. But maybe the thinking in Bielema's head goes, I had it completely made at Wisconsin.
Right.
I left it. I didn't do as well as I thought at Arkansas. I got fired. Now I'm position coach in the NFL. maybe once he would get back to that point in the Big Ten, I'm not saying he's going to go to three Rose Bowls at Illinois, but if he was succeeding, then he wouldn't look to make that jump.
Yeah, maybe he's learned his lesson, if you will. And, you know, Brett Bielema, he may be, of all of these guys, he may be really hungry to get this job. He may be really hungry to get back in the Big Ten. So I get what you're saying, Jake, but certainly I would take a coach that wins. And you have to look at it a little different with the football program from the basketball program. The Bill Self thing stung us in basketball because we are a proud fan base when it comes to Illinois basketball. We've had teams play for a national title. We've had Final Four teams. We don't feel like you should leave this program to go to another one. Now, there is that upper echelon, and certainly Kansas is in that, where Bill Self went. So I feel like in basketball, there may only be maybe five or six other jobs that maybe you'd leave Illinois for in basketball. In football, you're way down there. I mean, there's a lot of jobs that would probably be considered better jobs than Illinois football. So I think in that situation, my feelings wouldn't be hurt if a coach came here, won three or four straight years, and then left. Because, number one, he's probably left the program in pretty good shape. You've been winning games. Then you're going to be attractive to the next coach who can come in here and say, well, look, you know, we're going to continue this progress that blah, blah, you know, put together here. So I would look at it a little different than Jake.
Situation and fit matters, though. And I know that in terms of judging the value or just the worth of the Illinois football program in comparison to some others out there, the fact that it's not viewed as a very good job is because you haven't won.
Yeah.
You haven't consistently won. So if you've got the right coach who was able to do that, get to that point where all of a sudden Illinois is a team that wins year in and year out, you're recruiting at a higher level, then the value of the program is elevated because you pair that with, we talked a ton about that facility and how it compares to others around college football. You talk about the resources that Whitman's able to pay Lovie Smith $4 million. I mean, that's not the Urban Meyer,
no,
you know, pull him away for 18, because that's not realistic.
One of the smaller salaries, actually, in the Big Ten.
Right, and that kind of that shifted because a year or two ago, we were talking about Lovie was one of the top 15 in college football as far as salary.
And now that's changed. So there you go. Another one on the College of Aces text line. Where is it? Where did it go? I had it, and it was really good because it was about... you know what? I can't find it. Oh, here it is. I think Whitman and Bielema are like oil and water. I would agree with that a little bit. I don't know that, you know, Brett Bielema, I don't think he's ever gotten in trouble, if you will. Now, he is a guy that is pretty brash, and I think he's cocky, and he's arrogant, and he's going to come in here. And I could see how you'd say that maybe Whitman and Bielema maybe wouldn't be buddies. I mean, they're going to be buddies, but in other words, just in a normal world, they maybe aren't hanging out together. So I could understand that. And then he said, Monken has always run the triple option at Georgia Southern and Army. Does he know anything else? That's a good question. I assume he would. And that's why if you could get his cousin Todd, who's the offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, at Georgia, they obviously don't run the triple option. So maybe you could get him in here to do that. So I don't know. It'll be fun. And this is why it's... This coaching things are kind of fun, but let me challenge you with this. As a lifelong Arizona Cardinals fan, there's always been certain times where it's really fun for me every year. There is one time a year where it's really fun for me, and that's draft night. And that's because normally the Cardinals are drafting high. And all that means is you don't have a good organization. I don't get the success of going to the playoffs. Now, I know the last 10 years has changed that a little bit. But for the first 30 years of my life, you know, I always say 10 years old and on, kind of my sports life, the Cardinals stunk. So the only thing I had to look forward to was that. And it's unfortunate that as Illinois fans, we've almost gotten to that point where we almost look forward now to coaching searches. And it does reinvigorate you, though. It gives you a little excitement going forward. But unfortunately, you're doing it because the wrong reasons, because your coach before did not win. So... All right, we were going to do our draft. Oh, we got a call. I'm sorry, Doug. This is my fault. Doug is in Naperville. Doug, that's my fault, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, I don't know what's taking Josh so long, but you basically got two choices. You got Luke Fickell and Brett Bielema. If I mean, as an alum, I'm tired of being at the bottom of the Big Ten. You need somebody with some type of cachet, somebody that can walk in. Brett Bielema can walk into a kid's living room and say, hey, I coach J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
I coach Russell Wilson. You're trying to go head-to-head with some of the best coaches in the country, with the Ryan Days, with the people, with the Jim Harbaughs. What do you have to sell from Illinois? The Todd Munkins and the Leopold, you're going to be stuck at the bottom of the Big Ten. That's not exciting. I'm sorry. We need somebody with an attitude that can say, I played in the Big Ten. I know what's winning big. Luke Fickell played in the Big Ten. He coached at Ohio State. You have to have a Big Ten mentality type of coach because, you know, that's why I say you either got to get Brett Bielema, Luke Fickell. The rest of the rest of these guys, I mean, you know, we need our Barry Alvarez.
Okay.
You know, Purdue wasn't anything till Joe Tiller got there. Wisconsin was a beer school in the 80s. Wisconsin was a joke in the 80s.
Yeah, they were.
Barry Alvarez got there. I mean, you got, you know, Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern. They were pretty much a joke. We need a coach that's going to stay and that has, you know, that arrogant, that, you know, I played in the Big Ten. I know what it takes to win in the Big Ten. Other than that, we're going to be stuck at the bottom of the Big Ten for the next 10, 12 years.
Doug, great call. I will say this. I think Randy Walker had done a pretty good job at Northwestern, so a little bit to that. But the other thing, Doug, in terms of timing, it may be that Josh has his guy, but maybe he has to wait for a certain thing. We don't know yet. And, of course, we'll know that more when we find out the answer. But, Doug, I can't disagree with anything you say there. If you're going to play with the best, then act like the best and go get the best coach. So, well done, buddy. Thank you for the call, Doug. That is Doug in Naperville. Good stuff, man. That's a really good call. And I don't disagree with what he's saying.
I understand where he's coming from. And there's no doubt about it that Bielema can sell having the fact that he's won in the Big Ten, that he's coached high-level players in the Big Ten. And part of that you push back on his arrogance, cockiness, just his personality. I mean, Underwood's got some confidence.
Yes, he does.
Maybe not as outward and some would say annoying as Bielema, but there's no doubt that he has a brashness about him as well.
Trevor is in the other room. I want to get Trevor on the horn real quick. I want to get him because I want to ask him this question. Trevor, you weren't that high on Brett Bielema, and I think even myself, I was kind of like, I don't know about Brett Bielema. And then the more you and I kind of looked at it, and maybe Piper's in the same boat here. I know that Trevor and I are kind of in the same boat. The more we kind of looked at it, the more I became pretty interested, and I don't know that I'd be disappointed if Brett Bielema was the guy.
Yeah, for some reason at first I kind of had maybe perhaps an unfair stigma of Arkansas didn't work out. There was some trending image of him like naked in a hot tub. You know what I mean? Like there was just sort of an aura around
that is
him
not
where
a good
it was
image.
Like, you know, Southern guy, he didn't work out at Arkansas. It didn't really seem like somebody that Whitman would target.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it does.
But then we looked at his resume and I thought, well, shoot, he never missed going to a bowl game at Wisconsin ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just hit the ground running.
Every
year. To be fair, obviously, he had success set up for him to hit the ground running. But then even at Arkansas, he went 7-8-7.
Yeah.
In the middle of his tenure there. And again, that's a tough, as you know, a tough division and a tough conference to go 7-8-7 in. And so it almost looks like when I looked at just the records, I'm going 7-8-7 and then 4-8. Obviously, that's a step back, but really, they fired him?
I know.
I mean, it seemed weird, and they said that they dismissed him on the field. Remember,
that
after
is
the
strange.
Game, and he has like a lawsuit pending against them. So the whole thing seems kind of strange to me, but I have come around to him just from an X's and O's football standpoint to where maybe initially my reaction would be Brett Bielema.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's sort of like, hey, I mean, he's got the resume. I'm not going to hate it until I'm proven otherwise.
And I did read a report that all of his Arkansas players had his back. And that's something that's important, Derek, that even in a four-win season when he gets let go at Arkansas, it sounds like the players were fighting to keep him. And that says something to me. The other thing that we know about Josh Whitman is that he's passionate about this Illinois football program. He's very passionate about Illinois sports in general, but as someone that played for Illinois football, he wants to do this. He wants to get this right. He wants to win. And while we have said before, and we even, a texter said it, Trevor said it, I've said it, that it does seem like someone that you'd look at and think, is that somebody that Josh would target? Josh wants to win. And if Brett Bielema is the number one chance to get that done, then I think he'd be fine with it.
Yeah, 100%. You're able to put up with maybe differing personalities. It's easy to get along when things are going well and you're winning. I look here at Bielema's SEC record. He was 11-29. So I understand the frustrations there. And you're playing the little brother chasing Auburn, sure, and chasing Alabama and whatnot. But Bielema was outside of his normal territory of recruiting. I mean, he's a Midwestern guy. He's from Illinois, played at Iowa, had a lot of success coaching at Wisconsin. So maybe being back into his roots in, amen, the Midwest would play obviously better to him. And I think that if it's the flip side of Bielema showing a little too much, would that be arrogance, emotion, confidence? It'd be on the flip side of Lovey not showing
anything. That is true.
It's an overcorrection in that department.
Correct.
For sure.
Correct.
Which
sometimes
would be fine.
We always talk about that sometimes in sports you do reactionary things. But
a guy who totally gets how to win in college.
Right. Yes.
That would also be the flip side of Lovey who hadn't.
Good call. And that's not Lovey's fault. He had a successful NFL career. So it's not necessarily his fault that he didn't win in college. It's because he was winning at the next level for the most part. So,
and that's a good call, Derek, on the SEC record. I didn't really look that deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
If 7-8-7 was mainly because you had four easy non-conference wins every year, then
yeah,
maybe 7-8-7 is a little less impressive.
But you know what? If you're going to have three easy non-conference wins every year at Illinois, I'll take 7-8-7.
You're going to Glenn Mason it?
If you told me the next 3 years Illinois will win 7-8-7 in football, I will sign the check.
Sure.
No, wait, I can't. I can't do that. I can't pay what these guys make. But I would be overly excited about that. All right, it's time to switch to basketball. We're going to visit. I guess we're not going to do our draft. How about we do it next week?
That's fine.
Okay.
It's just that we'll get a head start on, you know, we'll know what teams kind of look like because everybody will have a game under their belt by then. But
well, that's good. Then maybe I won't get as beat as bad. Did you guys know that I have the first pick? The look of Trevor's face.
Was that decided?
We'll have to draw out of a hat.
Okay.
Between us, because I want to do this. We're going to do this next week,
okay,
to get that done. But right now, hey, Trevor, thank you. Go home. You've had a long day.
Kind of. Arduous day around here.
Arduous, yeah. We had our Christmas party. Stevie J treated us to a lot of stuff. So very thankful for Stevie J as a boss. He does a wonderful job. And we had a lot of fun today. So
I could do without the Cardinals chatter, but you know,
other than that,
it was a good day.
It was a great day. I totally agree. All right, Trevor, have a great weekend, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
When we come back, Brightman, correct? I got to make sure I say this right. Aaron Brightman, I know we had him on last year. He was excellent. Editor for On the Banks, Aaron Brightman, he covers Rutgers, and when we come back, we'll find out about this Rutgers team. They've got three guys that play a lot of minutes, and then they've got some, you know, plenty of talent there besides that, and also, of course, Geo Baker kind of starting to find himself. He's only played in two games, so he's starting to find himself, and Illinois is going to be getting a Rutgers team with Baker starting to do that. So we'll talk to Aaron Brightman when we come back. If you want to weigh in, tons of you have, and we appreciate it. 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. Search us on Twitter. It's at the drive 93.5. I'm at Lonte ESPN. See you.
I'm at D Piper 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevieJay.com, stevieJay.com. Or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
And thank you, Lindy, for getting the elephant in the room out of the way.
I wanted to bring it up.
I decided to have a little fun this weekend in fantasy football. And my quarterbacks really weren't much, Matt Ryan and Teddy Bridgewater. And I thought, you know what? I want to have a reason to watch last night's Thursday night football game. So I took Derek Carr, and in the second possession, running to his right, the groin goes out. And you just knew immediately. Oh.
Yikes.
So in our league, where a quarterback normally gets you 50 points, I got 5.
Mm.
So my fantasy season is done. And I'm glad that it is, because it has been a woeful season full of nothing but disappointment. End it now. I don't even have to worry about it the rest of the weekend. That's good. We can focus on basketball and the Arizona Cardinals. Aaron Brightman's next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign. My name is Dr. Andrew Zasada. I'm a new provider with OSF Healthcare in Savoy. Here to tell you that OSF has made it easy for you to come see myself or any other provider by offering video visits. Just call the office and schedule a video visit, and we'll be happy to talk to you and try to help you with your questions. If an office visit becomes necessary, we can certainly schedule that. But for those who feel that they cannot come in or feel that they're housebound, this is another way for you to connect with an OSF healthcare provider to make healthcare even more available to the community. We're happy to welcome into our OSF healthcare family of providers Dr. Mary Ann Fisher, who will be joining OSF healthcare at Union Square next to the Starbucks at the corner of Springfield and Mass. OSF Healthcare stands for faith-based healing. For all of your healthcare needs, please visit osfhealthcare.org.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. That's why State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is right here in Champaign-Urbana to help you select the right protection at the right price. Kurt will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Just call him when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
If you're looking for rapid COVID-19 testing, it's now available at Campus Town Urgent Care at Green and Wright in Champaign. That's 631 East Green Street. Get a test and know within 15 minutes or less whether you have coronavirus. Dr. Tom Plura at Campus Town Urgent Care personally calls all positive patients within 30 minutes to inform them and to answer questions. During the emergency pandemic, patient insurance covers the cost of testing with no co-pays or deductibles. Medicare and Medicaid covers the test fully. Appointments are necessary, but quick and easy. Never leave your car and results in 15 minutes or less. Go to covedtest.center to book your time. Stop missing work or waiting around for days to find out results. Go to covedtest.center to book your time for rapid COVID testing from Campus Town Urgent Care. That's covedtest.center.
Long's Garage in Urbana and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer cost-effective solutions to your present engine or transmissions trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Long's Garage install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Long's Garage at 367-3942. Long's Garage, 217-367-3942.
Hi, I'm Craig McDonald with the McDonald Group Real Estate Group. Home sellers want two things. They want to sell their house fast and sell for a lot of money. The good news is we do just that. Try the no-risk list home selling system. We offer the right to sell the property yourself, no upfront fees, and if you're not happy with my performance, you can fire me at any time. We have been the number one sales volume team in Champaign-Urbana since 2010. I'm not bragging. I'm applying for a job because I want to be your realtor. Contact thenoriskless.com for more details, and thank you.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
This must be a Han song. He's in the other room eating Jets pizza and just, he's so excited about this. Freaking out the neighbors. That would be Hans D, actually. I'm sure a lot of his neighbors growing up could attest. to exactly that. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. Hans will be with us for Who You Got, Grab Bag Edition, 5:30. We'll chat Illinois basketball at 5:05. Maybe a little bit more chatter on new Hold on. Let me rephrase that in case somebody almost ran off the road. There has not been an announcement on Illinois football coach, but we certainly talked all about it in the first segment. We may visit that again at 5:05. But right now it's time to get you ready for Illinois and Rutgers. This game will be Sunday at noon. Aaron Brightman, he's the managing editor for the SB Nation Rutgers site called On the Banks. He joined us last year and was excellent. Aaron, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys, how are you? Thanks so much for having me back.
Hey, not a problem. First of all, I'm a big NFL guy, Aaron, and this little Sunday at noon thing is going to be in the way of that. That's kind of, I don't like the timing of this.
Well, I guess that's appropriate, right? With 2020 and the way this season with all the cancellations and, you know, not even knowing the morning of a game if we're going to play or not. So I guess it's par for the course.
It is so true. All right, how about Rutgers? Just throw it. I mean, they're 5-0. Overall, what do you think of this team out of the gates? I know you should be excited about this Scarlet Knights team. What gets you the most excited from what you've seen thus far?
I think it's their maturity. You know, this group has been together for a while now. They've been through the wars. You know, they've had a lot of, you know, the last 2 years, especially on the road, a lot of tough losses. And you can see how much they've grown as a team. I mean, their top five guys, you know, are all juniors and seniors, and the maturity that they've shown so far this season, their ability to, you know, they know what they need to do to win. They've been able to close out just the way they closed out Syracuse and Maryland. It was just very efficient, dominating. You know, they've learned how to win, and they're extremely confident. They go on the court and they believe they can beat anybody in the country, and they're a versatile team. But I really think it's the confidence and maturity of this group, you know, the way they've been able to develop both as players but also as a team in terms of understanding what they have to do. You know, when you have guys like Geo Baker and Ron Harper, I mean, they lead the team as much as the coaching staff in terms of just preparation, getting ready, the way they've been able to. This COVID situation has actually helped this team in a way because they live in the practice facility. You know, they've just been completely focused on making history. They're really tuned into that. They know the importance of this season and what they could mean for Rutgers overall, just in terms of program history. So I think they're all in every way, and it's really shown in the early going.
Aaron, we hear a lot about Geo Baker. He gets those preseason accolades as far as all Big Ten. He hit a lot of clutch shots last year, similar to Io on the Illinois side. But some people back in Champaign say, hey, we think Ron Harper Jr. is the better player. Maybe he should be getting more love than he is. Now, right now, with the start of his season, he's getting a lot of attention, shooting 50% from three, 27 he scores in the Big Ten opener against Maryland. Illinois saw him score 27 against them last year at the rack. Just what have you seen from him so far, and what's been his next step forward now this season?
It's really been consistency. You could see from last year, you know, I think that they had actually hoped that he maybe would have taken a little bit bigger step than he did last year. And it really came down to just not being as consistent as he could have been. And he really addressed that this off season. And you just see a complete player now. You know, his ability to hit the three now on a consistent basis, like you said, shooting 50%, that's been the biggest growth in his game. He's always been a good rebounder, but he's just much more just in terms of his fine-tuning, his shooting. And he has that star quality, you know. I mean, as much as Geo means to this team, I don't think there's any question really about that Ron Harper is the most talented player on the team. You know, and that's going back to this team, you know, in terms of maturity, their unselfishness. You know, after the game against Maryland, Geo talks about how Ron Harper's a star and how he just can't believe how good he's gotten. So, and it's genuine. I mean, it really is. These guys want to win above all else, and they recognize how good Ron Harper has gotten. I think they all, Geo said it after the game, you know, he hasn't even played his best basketball yet. And I think that's true of him and also the whole team. So, you know, with Geo being out the last few games, he came back to Maryland, but I think that actually really kind of helped Ron establish himself as the alpha dog. And I think it's a luxury now. Rutgers needed that second closer at the end of games with Gio. Everyone was focused on Gio last year. Now they know they can't just collapse on Gio. They have to worry about Ron Harper, too. So I think that's really going to help them here in Big Ten play down the stretch of game.
To follow up on Gio, the ankle injury kept him out for three games. He came off the bench against Maryland. What did you see from him in that game? Does he look close to 100%? Because you know Illinois with their guard play, that's going to be a key to the battle with Trent Frazier, Adesumu, and freshman Andre Curbelo against Rutgers in the backcourt.
It's certainly going to be interesting to see how he responds his second game back. I mean, they have had it'll be 5 days in between games. Pykel did say he played more in the Maryland game than they anticipated, but he was feeling good. He really came into his own in the second half. He looked, obviously, understandably rusty the first half a little bit. He scored 12 points in the second half, and when he did his signature step back jumper, you could see he was feeling it, and he smiled. And after the game, he said he felt great. So. Certainly was, I think, important. They wanted to get him a game before this game on Sunday against Illinois. They know how important this game is. It's the only time they play Illinois all season. So I think, the program understands that this is their opportunity to really show that they can be an elite team in the Big Ten by beating Illinois. So they're going all in on it. And I think Gio's going to be fine. He's battled back from injury before. But I think in this case, last year I think he came back a bit too early. With a broken finger. This year, I think he is fine. So I expect him to start on Sunday.
Great stuff from Aaron Brightman. Follow him on Twitter. It's @Aaron_Brightman. He's the managing editor of On the Banks. That's SB Nation's Rutgers site. I want to ask you about Miles Johnson. Last year against Kofi, 6 points, 11 rebounds. I like his game. I like what he brings to Rutgers. And he will get tested, no doubt, against a guy, Kofi Coburn, who's averaging a double-double. What are you liking about Miles Johnson, and how do you feel that matchup is going to look like on Sunday?
Well, Miles is, he's a very mature player. He's, a very bright student. He's an engineering major, and he's always kind of understood the big picture of everything. And he's actually come off the bench in every game this season due to the fact that they have Cliff Omorori, top 50 recruit, who is extremely athletic, but certainly raw and has a ways to go. But Pykel's been starting Omorori. Johnson has had no issue with it and has really been huge. I think part of it is really to keep Johnson out of foul trouble at the start of game.
Right.
Which, he struggled with a little bit last year. But he has really embraced coming off the bench and has really been dominant in the last two games against Syracuse and Maryland. He had 16 rebounds against Maryland. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup with Kofi, and I think you might see a little bit of Twin Towers action with Omorori and Miles Johnson. They've toyed with that a little bit the last couple games, and I think that could be an interesting look against Illinois, having both those guys in at the same time with Kofi. But it's really going to come down to foul trouble, I think. Miles and Cliff have a tendency to they could be an issue. So if they could stay on the court, especially Johnson, he has that experience. He's really a fourth-year guy. He redshirted as a freshman. So his experience down the stretch against Illinois is really going to be huge. He still struggles from the free-throw line, but in terms of the offensive glass, he's really efficient, and he's got one of the highest block rates in the country on the defensive end.
When you take a glance at Rutgers' profile on KenPom, they're playing quite a bit faster offensively in terms of tempo. I know transition numbers, they're up there with Illinois. One of the tops as far as high major programs getting points out in transition. If I'm not mistaken, it seems like Jacob Young is a big part of that, has taken a step forward now as a senior, the transfer from Texas. Am I correct in that he's been a big proponent of pushing in transition, and what is he bringing to Rutgers this year?
Absolutely. Spot on. He's definitely made a leap from last year. It was really important that they got that third wheel, so to speak, to back up Gio and Ron Harper, and Young's really done that in the early going. He's the biggest creator of offense for Rutgers in terms of his ability to penetrate off the bounce. He's been fantastic with that. He does have a tendency to turn it over a bit and struggled at times last year a lot, but he was really rusty that first half of last year, and we really didn't see him come into his own towards the end of last year after sitting out the previous year with the transfer. So this year he's hit the ground running. He's averaging 6 assists, but he's also scoring at a high rate. And, against Syracuse, he just took over that second half, his ability to just slice and dice that zone. And he struggled a little bit against Maryland, but even like kind of a subpar game for him is still way above what he was last year. So he's able to really set guys up and get the ball in their hands. It set them up for good shot opportunities. Against Syracuse, Ron Harper had 5 threes, and they were all assisted by Young. Mm. So I think his ability to get the ball to Harper and even allow Geo Baker to be off the ball a little bit more, I think will make him more difficult to guard for Big Ten teams. So he's certainly a huge part of what Rutgers needs in terms of being successful.
Averaging 6 points, 3 steals a game thus far, Jacob Young. Wanted to ask you about that offense. You kind of led into it there. Ron Harper Jr. with 16 three-pointers made, 16 out of 32, by the way. So he obviously hitting it a big clip. But after that, it's kind of a drop-off in terms of three-pointers made. So I don't know that that's necessarily a game that Rutgers wants to play from the outside. Explain to us a little bit how they'll run offense tomorrow against Illinois.
Yeah, that's very true. They're definitely not a strong three-point team, at least in the last couple of years. They're shooting about 35% right now, but it is mostly due to Harper. Although with Geo back, he was 3 of 6 against Maryland, so he'll certainly shoot his fair share. And after that, they really don't have a natural three-point shooter behind those two guys right now. So that is a bit of a concern long-term. And they've always been better near the basket. I think they're top 25 in the country right now with two-point range. They've always been better in terms of attacking the rim. You have guys like Montez Mathis who can get there off the wing. Even Baker, it was much better last year in terms of penetrating the rim and not just hanging back and forcing shots on the perimeter. So they want to attack the rim. I think establishing inside presence, I think a big key to this game is rebounding. I think, Illinois is an elite rebounding team. Rutgers likes to think they are, but I don't think they're as strong as Illinois on the glass. So their ability to, especially offensive rebounding, Rutgers has really benefited from that end, throughout the Pyko era to compensate for some poor shooting from the field. So they really need to get some points that way against Illinois. And I think, like you said, in transition as well, if they're gonna rely on the three to win this game, I don't think they're going to have a very good chance to do that.
Last one for you, Aaron. You got two top 20 teams battling in this one, teams that were picked to finish top 5 in the league. And when you're projected that high, you might as well make a run for the Big Ten title. Yeah. I'm sure Rutgers is thinking the same way. How do you see this one shaking out on Sunday? What are you expecting?
This is the only game, right? Am I right? The only time they'll play each other this year, I think.
It is. I think Rutgers is really going to be up for it. I think defensively, they haven't been where they needed to be for a full 40 minutes. I think this is a game they will need to be. They did a great job against Illinois, even in the loss to Illinois last year. I think they held them to like 35% shooting. So, they're going to need to bring their A game defensively. Pyko talks about how it all starts with defense. And then offensively, it's sharing the basketball. They've done a really good job of rotating the ball in the half court, really making teams work on the defensive end. And being able to, their growth as a team is they now have 4 or 5 guys that can score in double digits every night. So that's been a big thing. But I think this team is going to be highly motivated to play their best on Sunday. They know this is their shot to take down Illinois, their only shot. I think that history is a big deal to them. They were talking about after the game, Geo was that, they had never been 1-0 in Big Ten play before. And that's all they were talking about during the Maryland game. They were breaking the huddle, be 1-0. So this team has a big chip on their shoulder. They feel like they have a lot of unfinished business from last year, where they were going to break the 29-year NCAA tournament drought, and it got taken away from them when the tournament got canceled. So they're certainly out for blood just in terms of a Big Ten perspective, and Illinois is certainly going to have a target on their back. But, they're an extremely talented team. It's going to be, I think, a really close game again. I think it could go either way. It's probably going to come down to, free throws, which from a Rutgers perspective is a concern because they have been really poor from the line. I think defensively, if Rutgers can play their best defensively, I think they can win the game.
Aaron Brightman, great stuff. I noticed, too, 4 Rutgers players averaging over 30 minutes a game. So they're in shape. And that doesn't even include Geo Baker, who's just now coming back and will log some significant minutes in that. Aaron Brightman, as always, unbelievable job. At @Aaron_Brightman, managing editor of On the Banks, SB Nation Rutgers site. Aaron, we can't thank you enough. on point as usual. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Should be a fun one on Sunday, and good luck the rest of the season.
Amen, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate that. It will be a fun. I mean, this is sneaky big game early in the Big Ten schedule. I know Illinois already has two losses, Rutgers 5-0, but, you know, this is an Illinois team that has been tested, obviously, against Baylor, against Duke, against Missouri, and you're going against a Rutgers team that last year came here and mucked that game up. I did say the M on that, and made it an ugly game that Illinois was lucky to win. And, of course, Illinois has always had their issues at the rack at Rutgers. I mean, this is a game that if – I'll put it this way, Pipes, unless Illinois just comes out and does Hans D things where they beat them by 18 and Hans thinks they always win by 18. If you just get out with a win – I mean, I'm going to go with the motto of the NFL when I always say a win is a win is a win on a Sunday in the NFL. You don't care what it looked like. Just get out of there with a win. If Illinois can get out of Piscataway with a victory Sunday, that will be one you look back at and think – we just got one on everybody because good luck going into Rutgers and winning this year.
It's a good point. And you look at Illinois' next nine games, this one on Sunday included, I think this is the toughest one.
Wow.
Until you go on the road, Michigan State, January 23rd, because you play at Rutgers, at Penn State, Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, Maryland, Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State.
Got to make the hay on those.
For sure. Absolutely. But again, we kind of roll your eyes at the parallels between, or just the fact that Illinois football might be on par or a little bit above Rutgers football.
Good point.
Illinois basketball and Rutgers basketball this year in particular, and you think about last year taking the tournament away and all that, they're right there. And we get caught up talking a lot about Illinois, Iowa.
We do.
Michigan State. Wisconsin. Yep. Rutgers is also saying to themselves, hey, we have a chance to win this Big Ten, do some big things. It's a really tough, experienced, hard-nosed team that has some talent. So this is a really big game.
They'll fight you, man. This Rutgers team will fight you. What is Steve Peichel's background? I'm going to allow you to look at this because I'm not expecting you to know exactly what Steve Peichel's about. But, man, you talk about coming in and doing a job so far at Rutgers in terms of getting this program not only back to winning but competing for even a Big Ten title this year. That is a heck of a job. And, of course, as Aaron said, they would have been an NCAA tournament team last year, similar to Illinois. And, of course, both teams very disappointed when they weren't allowed to go in. But Steve Peichel, man, you look at him and he looks like everyday Joe, but that dude gets it done.
Yeah, to replace Eddie Jordan, who came in with an NBA pedigree and that's thought right. That maybe he would turn the program around, Peichel's the one that has actually done that. Now, they were going to go to a tournament last year, expected to go to a tournament this year, and finishing the top quarter of the Big Ten.
I agree.
He was at Stony Brook for a really long time, okay, from 06 through 16. Played at UConn, was an assistant there for a season or so.
You know what? I remember him at UConn. I remember that name, Steve Peichel.
Yep.
What years would he have played at UConn?
87 to 91.
I remember that. I swear to you, I remember that name. I guess. I mean, unless he averaged like 1 point a game, maybe I didn't, but I do. I definitely do remember that. All right. Well, he has done a bang-up job at Rutgers. And when you consider, you know, you look at Illinois and you've got Chicago, Rutgers out there, they've got some big cities around them that they can go in and pick out some recruits and do some damage with them. So this will be a fun game. Sunday at noon. You're not going to this one.
I will not be there, no. Watching from home like everybody else.
Yeah, like the rest of us, right. I asked you earlier today, I don't know that you even know it still, with Penn State on the road as well on Wednesday, I asked you, will Illinois just stay out east if they play Rutgers on Sunday and then just kind of, instead of flying home and then flying back on Tuesday or even Wednesday, would they just stay out east and figure that out? But I don't know. I don't know if that's too long.
That's a good question. We'll talk to Brad. The media talks to Brad tomorrow, so okay, we'll find out then for sure. Last year, they had a similar, they played Rutgers on February 15th, then Penn State on the 18th. And if I'm correct, they came back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then went back out there. Maybe circumstances are different.
Right.
You limit the amount of flights, although you're flying private.
So yeah, I was going to say.
That's different. That's a luxury. So they wanted to come back, they could. I don't know. That's a good question.
In that sense, it's an early game Sunday. You'd be back here by 7 o'clock probably at night, and then you'd have all day Monday and Tuesday, essentially probably leave Tuesday night to get back out to Penn State. So certainly plenty of time to fly out, but I know it was just one thing I noticed. I'm like, well, that's interesting. Two straight games on the East Coast. You wonder if you'd stick around and stay out there. Good stuff with Aaron Brightman, man. He is the goods. 5:05, we'll talk a little bit more about Illinois basketball, how they match up with Rutgers, and what Derek's expecting from this Illini team as they look to go 2-0 in the Big Ten, 5-2 overall, so they'd be 6-2 if they can get a win on Sunday. And then, of course, the world-famous, who you got, made world-famous by Hans D. We will definitely do that at 5:30.
It's loaded this weekend.
And it is loaded. We got tons, and that's without the NFL. It's without the NFL. By the way, BYU up 15 on San Diego State. I'm the only one that cares about that because, well, never mind. Just never mind. San Diego State's ranked 18th in the country. That's BYU is at like 900 threes to lead this game. Great. All right, we're back. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.